Alright, ladies and gentlemen, this is NotJustAGame.com here, debuting our third episode of the season. Obviously, we've done other episodes in the past. We hope you've been enjoying them. This is Zach Simony here, and I've got two guests, Joe Lopat and Jabbar Harris, returning. And you know I'm going to start off on a quick rant on these two guys here in the Chicago Bears.
They suck.
They ain't winning another game.
No one won.
I'm there in Vegas looking to double my money on a bet.
We're there in Vegas.
We're in Vegas looking to double my money on Jay Cutler, who can't hold on to the ball, has no awareness in the pocket, and gets ripped sacked for a season high, career high, halftime high, Sunday Night Football high.
Never gonna fail.
Why would we try to double up on a primetime Sunday night game anyways? Isn't that like one of the top 10 things not to do when you're gambling?
I would imagine so. But at any rate, we lost that game in Vegas.
This guy is struggling with his health.
What was going on with him, guys? What was going on with him watching that game?
A lot of things. First, the offensive line is just atrocious. I mean,
no one's
ass. I mean, they cut the pace. I would move him to guard from tackle, but I guess they didn't want to pay him. And then also, Jay Cutler is looking to go deep too much, definitely the checkdowns.
Yeah.
Which would throw that Giants defense off a rhythm.
I noticed that a bunch of times. He had to check down the dink and dump routes, and instead of doing that, seeing if Hester could break it, you've got everyone running down the field. Do you think it's more due to Mike Martz not running the calls correct game plan?
That's part of the reason.
They need to fire Mike Tice.
Offensive line coach, get their money back. That Mike Martz offense, it's a vertical stretch offense that he wants his quarterbacks throwing deep. I mean, Kurt Warner took a lot of hits, too.
Why is Devin Hester running 90-yard
go routes.
And it's second and five, third and five. Why is he running to the other end zone?
And the only time they had him, Jay Cutler missed him. I'm down the sideline.
I'm telling you, it's got to be because of his diabetes, man. At night? Has he ever played good at night?
No.
He's fatigued? They need to give him insulin shots or do something. He was out of it.
And then we kept hearing, Steve, MGM just blew up. Steve. That's another. We're going to do a Vegas segment here in a minute to talk about the trip. But let's go on to a couple of other discussions over the weekend. Another topic, David Garrard and the Jacksonville Jaguars. They not only covered, they got the win.
Can we start talking about some of our wins we had in Vegas? We just want to keep beating a dead horse.
David Garrard looks good. I mean, he looked horrible all year long.
Exactly.
If not the worst starting quarterback until last week in Philadelphia. But over 300 yards.
Not yardage. He only threw like 150 yards.
Like 350.
Every third down, they get converted.
Yeah, but he did.
He got a rush touchdown. He had a fat slob on a rush touchdown.
You know, the main thing I saw with Dave Grohl was his poise. Because every time they play the Colts, they rush their offense. But Jacksonville knows how to game plan correctly. They limit their throws. And they let Garrard pick a spot to run the football. He had 44 yards rushing and a touchdown. 10 fantasy points right there. 2 throwing touchdowns and like 150 yards passing. So, very impressed by the Jaguars. Especially, there were some spots there where the team could have gave up. Peyton Manning was marching down there. And
they got
an interception.
Lucky win.
They're lucky. It's a division game. And being with NFL, you're supposed to be twice a year in the division.
Yeah.
So, you know them more. That's all it came down to.
What are the Colts in their division?
0-2?
0-2.
They're going to be 3-3 at best.
On the
road, that defense is not as good as when it's at home. When it's at home, you as the offense can't change your play, can't change your snap counts, and they get such a good jump at home at D line that they're unblockable. Then when you're on the road, not jumped on near the same.
But there's one of the worst teams rushing the football, one of the worst teams against the rush.
Yeah.
Well, Joey Dye had a good game that game, and now he's hurt. So. When Mike Hart was trying to run the ball, they had some issues there.
Yeah, why is Mike Hart in the game?
That's never the song.
The former Syracuse product. But with the Colts, they do this every year. They go through their little rut. Usually they just squeak out games like the Bears were doing. And then they start coming on. But they'll be there when it's all said and done.
They'll be a 10-6 team at worst.
Yeah.
5. They're going to the playoffs. They're trying to get through the season. That's what I feel
they
like.
They got a lot of holes bullets out for the year now.
Yeah.
They got Bob Sanders.
House of December.
Yeah,
is he going to come back then?
I think December. I mean, they haven't put him in the IR yet. So, I mean, they're really banking.
So, Santa's coming back before
They've got issues at wide receiver, too, guys, with Austin Kyle dinged up. He's returning, but he's still going to be, the chemistry's not going to be there instantly, so they're going to be looking at Blair White to try to produce. I don't know if that's going to be possible.
And they need to cut that second tight end that dropped the sure touchdown.
Speaking of that, Reggie Lane against the Jacksonville Jaguars, 198 yards.
Did he?
This guy's unbelievable.
It's Reggie Lane.
His last nine games now, he has over 1,100 yards. Wow. Against that team. That's got to be a record.
That's what she's mad at. What's he doing?
Got
posted. Oh, jeez. So, let's go to the hot, hot topic that everyone's talking about on Twitter today. Randy Moss back to his old team, the Minnesota Vikings. Is that going to spark, let's talk on both sides here, how's it going to spark Brett Favre and the Vikings, and how are the Patriots going to find
He's going to target Randy Moss about 18 times, 18 to 24 times until they get Sidney Wright.
Yeah, the other guys were not burying. They were just dropping passes left and right. If you watch the game, Tank Basket got playing time. That's how bad the receiving is right now. I like the reality show. I like his wife.
Yeah, Kendra Lucas is going to be. We'll have an episode to talk about Hank Basket finally.
But he's up there getting playing time. There's something wrong. So Ray Moss gets in. That's
they're just the target. Yeah. So do you think Brett Favre or Matthew Morris is quarterback now or not?
No. I think he's going to throw more interceptions because he's targeting, staring him down, trying to force passes deep to him.
Yeah.
But it's forcing balls. You can't change. That's never going to change. Last year was just a lot. Thank you. A few that he threw. He's never done that before. He's going to go back to his normal ways this year.
Yeah, don't forget about Vasante Shenko.
Yeah, he's got two targets, and then when Sidney Rice
is back. His production going to decrease? No. When Moss are on the red zone?
No, not at all.
He's more of an inside middle field threat, and Ray Moss is going to be working outside.
But it's going to be enough to make that team, they have no worries about them. They're going to get wins, and they're going to be where they need to be at the end of the year, probably bump you guys Bears out of that.
No.
It's also going to help Adrian Peterson a lot, because now teams won't be stacking the box as much. Because, you know, you can't just put 89 in the box. Ray Moss is running deep.
Yeah, it's going to be scary when they got Rice and Moss.
Yeah. I think they're going to be more balanced, and it's definitely a great move. And now, there might actually be another Vikings receiver that has fantasy value. Maybe Bernard Berrien can have a game or two.
That's
one Berrien player I never liked. Okay. So, Randy Moss. So, on the Patriots side of things, Tom Brady all of a sudden goes from having just Wes Welker as his main option. We know that Hernandez and the Gronkowski are stepping up at tight end, but is that enough to have you guys think that they're going to be comfortable enough on offense running with a Ben Jarvis-Green Ellis?
No.
As you're starting
on back. They've got too much confidence in their system.
And Danny Woodhead has
a new head. They've got Julian Edelman and
the coolest franchise
in
sports.
They're just putting in average receivers, and you're placing Ray Moss with Brandon Tate.
Do any of those guys have size?
No, they're like 6 foot.
I was insane. And then they got Woodhead, 5'4" coming out of the
back. 120 dripping wet. I don't know if they're relying. What's Walker? I think he got these 100 catches every year thanks to Randy Moss. Moss will run the coverage off.
Yeah,
he's running underneath.
Yep.
Now they play the team with the Jets or Dolphins in their division. They're going to start targeting him.
Who's Reed is going to match up with?
Why not Wes Welker?
So, you think the Patriots are done, man? They've got two picks for every round up to the fourth round. You know, they're going to go after another.
I think they're in rebuilding mode.
I think so. I think there's one. They're trying to go for a youth movement, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Young defense.
Yeah.
You think Tom Brady's going to sit back at 31 and let that happen?
I also think they feel we have Tom Brady, and you don't. So Tom Brady can throw some scrubs out there, and he can get to the playoffs. But best case scenario, I think first round is done. But I see them missing. That's me personally.
Yeah, so somebody has to get those fantasy points now.
Thanks, Jarvis Green Ellis.
Who's getting them at receiver?
The tight ends. I mean,
the tight ends.
Who's going to get them?
Pretty much what happened last week, because Moss didn't get a catch.
Zach, were you one of the guys sucking up Tate in your fantasy team like everyone else were today?
No. We're still going to pass on Brandon Tate until you see what happens. I think he's going to struggle
like most receivers.
He's going to struggle like most receivers. Okay, and then the other big trade this week, Marshawn Lynch heading to Seattle. We had an owner here, co-owner here sitting here that dropped him on his team. But
enough, I regret that.
But Marshawn Lynch, he's shown in the past that he can be an elite fantasy running back. Seattle has struggled since Sean Alexander left due to retirement, but do they have value now with Marshawn Lynch?
I want to know is why they do this trade over the summer. These teams are talking. We've been talking for about a good 4 or 5 months now. Why wait now?
Why didn't Green Bay step up?
Yeah, but.
With the Seattle, I think they thought they had something with Leon Washington, but he's not going to be able to do it, so now they've got to make the
move. He's not every down back. I don't know what made them think this has to be an every down back. And they also had Julius Jones.
Cut.
Exactly.
And don't forget they had Lindell Wright, too, so they had a plan. They had a plan, and it got blown up like the grenades this weekend. But, let's also talk. So Marshawn Lynch's value, though, he's going to get the carries.
He's going to get touchdowns.
He's going to be in one of the top shared carry system in the league right now. He might get 15 to 20 at least a game.
I see value in Marshawn Lynch.
Why did I drop him?
Buffalo was playing my game.
Yeah, he was a third running back.
Buffalo knew they didn't want him anymore. So yeah. I don't know why they waited so long. They got only a fourth round pick out of him. If they get this deal done, they could probably get two out of it.
Yeah, how did they get two out of that?
He had a lot of issues off the field as well. But
Buffalo's going to Toronto.
They got him.
Get him off this country.
So now that Marshawn Lynch is getting, because he was getting 10, 12 carries a game.
No, he's
getting
the Bills. He's the top guy. Who else is going to get carries up there?
No, talking about Bills now. No, he's not taking carries away from C.J. Spiller. You think C.J. Spiller is going to bypass Ryan Matthews for the rest of the year as top running back rookie in the league?
Maybe Jahvid
Best. And Jahvid Best.
I think Jahvid Best still. Because
until he breaks down.
Wyatt's O-line's a little bit better, but he's fragile, I think.
You don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Harvard alum, is going to be able to dink and dump his way to C.J. Spiller?
Not so much.
He may with Fred Jackson's injuries. Yeah. He may be the top back, but I don't know if he can take that beating for the whole game.
Yeah. I just think, Marshawn Lynch, get him on your team, see if you can work a deal if you're real thin at running back, because he's going to...
He's probably out there crazy.
He was going to wave away. Probably about three quarters.
Probably up now.
All right, guys. And also, don't forget this week, bye week teams. You got Miami, New England. They're coming up Monday night, so make sure you don't start anyone from those teams. Pittsburgh and Seattle. So Marshawn Lynch heading over there. He's going to have a week, extra week to get adjusted before he has to worry about getting on the field. And with Pittsburgh there, obviously when they come back next week, suspensions end for Mr. Big Ben. And Santonio Holmes for the Jets. So what do you guys think about them returning on the scene?
I think Pittsburgh's in a great situation. I mean, they went 3-1 without Ben. No one could predict that. I mean, yeah.
They should have went 4-0 if they didn't get conservative in the last minute.
Well, they had Charlie back.
They tried to sneak without win against Baltimore. It just didn't happen. But they're 3-1 anyway. I mean, they were first in the division. They're getting Ben back. That's all they could have asked for.
No. And I think Santonio Holmes is going to put up big numbers with Sanchez the way he's looking.
Sanchez is that big arm.
I heard it here on the show last week, Mark Sanchez. Start him against the Bills. Look what he did.
Those are just weapons for both those teams, so they should just only get better. Santonio Holmes looked great in preseason, so I don't really think it's going to be a rhythm issue. He should jump right into that offense and get acclimated real well. It's not like he hasn't been practicing, so he'll get out there and he'll do great for your fantasy teams.
What's up with Vincent Jackson?
Vincent Jackson, obviously.
Is he done now?
He's controlling his own desktop.
I think he has a report by like week 10 or 11.
So okay. I thought it was coming up sooner.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's a done deal over there. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's a done deal over there. So Vinny Jackson, we'll see what happens with him, and we'll post an article up once there's an update with him. Okay, the next topic we're going to talk about here is the dink and dump offense, particularly the Denver Broncos. Now, DeBoer, I'm going to let you run this segment because you've been on a defense. You know what defensive coordinator's game plan for, and you're used to that college system of the dink and dump with quarterbacks. What do you guys usually do to adjust to that short, intermediate route? Because the Tennessee Titans didn't do it this past week against Kyle Orton.
It's a little different in college because you have those spread teams where they're dink and dunking at screens, and those are hard to stop.
Yeah.
Look at the four Gators. It's a catch it, quick throw to a fast player, and Oregon. NFL, the screen game isn't as good because one can't block down.
They didn't run any screens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
NFL,
it's
Maloney.
NFL, it's harder to see how that's working, that dink and dunk offense. But I think the Tennessee linebackers aren't that good. And safeties, Chris Hope, I can't believe he's still in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy was a run support safety in his prime. So, I mean, he should gain 20 pounds and play linebacker if he's still playing in his league.
Why didn't defenses go to the cover two then? Try to stop that or play press?
Yeah, that's what you would think.
They didn't do anything. They let them control.
They weren't making plays at all either.
I think they ran up the whole fourth quarter doing dink and dump, dink and dump, dink and dump. They had the ball. I think the second half we were watching it, besides that kickoff return and a couple drives where Vince Young couldn't do
anything. Dominating the clock like it's a running game.
Yeah.
I was amazed that was working as well. I mean,
yeah, it's been working all season. Do you think Guy Orton is going to continue to excel, or do you think he's going to have a couple of bad weeks and then go back to earth real soon?
He's going to go back to earth. Teams have seen this on film.
Yeah.
And by now you can't be surprised. You know it's going to be part of their offense. At least the Colts game went deep a little bit.
Yeah.
So maybe Tennessee, I don't know what they saw.
I don't think he took any shots deep against Tennessee.
Chesney's our new coordinator.
He's flipping people off.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all he cared about.
I mean, I don't know what he was calling. Go there, giving the bird, getting fined. I don't know. Once they lost, Source of Detroit, their defense is not the same.
Speaking of special teams coaches, do you guys think Miami's coach deserved to get
bye-bye?
middle of third quarter.
Bye-bye.
I don't even know to coach the game.
You don't think it was a fluke that all those plays happened?
This is the second time in the season you've had kicks blocked in different games. I mean, that's on you.
They blocked a punt?
Yeah.
A field goal?
Yeah. Punters take 8 seconds to punt the ball. I mean, the first punt that was blocked. And the field goal.
And then they allowed a touchdown.
Yeah.
Kickoff return touchdown.
That was amazing. If you had the over in that game, you were breathing happily in the second half.
You sweated out at halftime.
Yeah. 7-6. And then all of a sudden.
Thank you. Okay, lastly here, before we go into our Vegas topic, we're going to talk about the injuries. There's a lot of new key injuries out there. I'm going to name some players. And
tell don't you what dare hate on my Bradshaw, Zach.
Injuries? He's on my injury list.
Don't hate on
LeSean McCoy. No, this is just straight injuries. LeSean McCoy, Clinton Portis, Ray Rice, Sue Smith, Sean Moreno, Andre Johnson, Austin Colley, Mike Vick, and Steven Jackson. All these guys are questionable or out.
Mike Vick is probably the biggest one in there. And they're starting Kevin Cobb now.
Ruins their whole offense.
I mean, but Kevin Cobb in that second half for 200 yards passing.
Yeah. To LeSean McCoy out of the backfield. Deacon Doug to LeSean McCoy.
The tight ends, we have 16 or 17 attempts to them.
Yeah, that's
all. The receivers
did have nothing. Now you're going to eat that up. That's one team who should be at the Deacon Doug with Patrick Willis and all the other linebacker. That's not going to work against the Niners. Niners, it's what they need. A solid quarterback after, also they've gone through. They can use a below average quarterback, and that's what they're getting this week.
Yeah. I'm going to go through the two receivers here I see on this list. Andre Johnson with Houston and C. Smith with Carolina. Okay. Those teams have no receivers behind those guys. Houston, they get paid off of Andre Johnson, Kevin Walter, Jacoby Jones. So if those guys have to step up in there, then you think Matt Schaub can handle it going against the Giants pass rush.
Andre Johnson, it's an ankle, and he's not Andre Johnson right now, but he's going to still dress and play. Which by having him in the field, allow those guys to have some sort of protection.
What were his numbers last week? Didn't he still get 89 yards?
Yeah.
Something like that?
No, he didn't get any points, fantasy points last week.
He didn't?
No. But, Steve Smith, obviously.
Done. Clawson. LaFell's going to be the number one. Dwayne Jarrett
got dropped.
Yeah.
The DUI, the second one. He's not getting anyway, but they run out of bodies. Start signing UFL players.
Come in there. Yeah, I heard that
Keyshawn Johnson.
The Eagles. The Eagles might sign Jeff Garcia if Mike Vick's out for an extended amount of time.
Kevin Cobb's not getting anything. He's got the Matt Leinart of the East Coast.
He is.
He's not getting a chance.
That's the point about Kevin Cobb is 2 months ago, Henry was so much behind this guy.
Yeah.
This guy had a good quarterback. We didn't need him now anymore. Now he's trying to find anybody on the street.
Hey, see ya.
You come here and try to do a Kevin Cobb. I mean, that's how bad Cobb is.
Oh, man. Well, that ends our discussions of general topics now. Joe and I are going to talk about 5 minutes about this weekend's trip in Vegas, and Jabbar, chime in anytime you want. But
I
want
to give a shout out to all the new listeners and friends we made while we were in Vegas.
We know you're listening. Steve, security guard Steve. Pencilman all over the place.
Fred Brown.
Fred Brown, the high-stakes gambler. has a ring on every finger, walks in with a fanny pack with $100,000 in it, and lays the bets on favorites every week that win. Fred Brown, we're going to give you winners again.
But no, seriously, this trip had ups and downs you wouldn't believe. Joe and I have been to Vegas probably 10 times in the last year and a half, and
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's up there. It might not be exactly 10, but you know, living in Arizona, you can get right up to Vegas, and the reason why we do it is because we like to fly Southwest generally. But this time around, Joe, we had issues every 5 seconds.
We wanted Washington, Notre Dame, and Oregon as our three college football picks of the week.
We were walking rich.
And then we had three delays. We circled in the air 15 times, landed in Ontario, California.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Ontario California?
Yeah, I thought we were going to Canada when he said Ontario.
Yeah, and this guy's circling in the air. We had no announcements until he says, well, obviously you guys know that we're not in Vegas. We're about to land in Ontario, California.
Because we're running out of fuel. Now, why would you want to hear that if you're a person in the cabin?
Yeah. And the whole thing was they weren't prepared to do a few turns while they were waiting to land. We would have been right there to land, but instead they had to get fuel. So that was that there. We get there a half hour after our games had started and see Stanford up 21-3, so we're thinking, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, boom, second half, Oregon comes out and slaughters them. Absolutely slaughtered them.
But then the Notre Dame and Washington game was annoying because we had both those games pegged. We went heavy on the NFL.
Yeah.
So we just had to take advantage of Hooters Hotel Resort. Big time deal of Budweiser, Bud Light, $1.50 bottles. So we had to give that plug in because we were getting free buckets the whole night.
Wow. Let's just say we made friends with some of the waitresses on staff. And
shout out to Christina and Nicole.
Oh, man. VIP dancing on tables. Beads
giving out.
Zach was dancing the VIP area on a table.
Hey, they called me up to this VIP, and I'm not just going up there. I got waved up there. It was something else.
I thought a security guard was going to Brian Urlacher him through the wall.
I know. It was like two or three times ago going up there.
More likely through the wall.
So, and I know all of you watch Jersey Shore, so we've been playing it off on how to run with grenades and get something for it. So we're at the end of the corner. We want to jump to another club, Joe and I, and we see these grenades swarming us. So we're like, what are we going to do here? We're going to see where this goes. They might have money. They might buy us a bottle of Patron.
She whispered in Zach's ear, DJ Paulie D is spinning at the pounds.
So we hear that. We get out the club, cabin it over with these grenades. They weren't landmines. They were grenades.
They're weapons of mass fucking destruction.
So we go there, and remember the Palms is up from Caesars Palace. It's not on the main part of the strip, Palms, so it's going to be a good cab ride. We say $20-25.
Zach's sitting bitch in the back seat between two of them. Each one was $4.50. Let's just say he didn't need a safety belt.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there squirming like there's eight people in the back seat, and we get up to the place, and they were like, no one knew who was going to pay. And then I just say, don't worry about it. We'll pay on the next ride back. As soon as we get out there, boom, peaced out Nike weekend. We got what we wanted. We were talking to San Francisco chicks 5 minutes later.
That's what you got to do. Next thing you know, we're leaving there in line. The girl's trying to lift her dress up to get a cab faster. And all we saw was butt crack.
Clear view.
And she's trying to give Zach some tips on how to date women.
She sounds like a picture. And I wasn't even paying attention, but
not to mention, we're in one of the clubs. And the girl said, it's my birthday, write something on me.
I almost forgot about that one.
Instead of Zach signing his name, because I think he said his name was Seneca Wallace. He said his name was Seneca Wallace, he's a football player for the Cleveland Browns. She brought it up, he said, sign something, right? What do you think Zach signed? Zach, what'd you sign?
A sign across her chest, not just the game.com.
Believe it.
Oh, man. there's other stories that we can't comment on. If you heard of Imperial Palace, don't go back. Oh, man. Scratch that out. Okay. Any other Vegas segment you want to talk about here tomorrow? You know, we
have Vegas. I would like to thank Southwest for comping my airfare free voucher, because they did end up making Zach and I wait 2 3-hour segments to fly from Vegas back to Phoenix, and then they lost both of our luggage, just us.
Just us. What are the coincidences of that? And that will be, not only we get vouchers for the delayed flights, but we're about to get vouchers for the bags being lost, so.
Meet us in Vegas, we'll be back in a couple months.
Jabal, you'll be on that trip, because we're going to be broadcasting live somewhere.
Yeah.
You're coming, it's going to be a business trip, buddy.
Sounds good.
Alright, that's going to be the end of the Vegas rant there. It was definitely one of the better trips, but Vegas is always fun. Just make sure you're gambling smart, gambling right. We're about to go on a gambling segment right now with some of our picks. We actually placed our bets at MGM there for these picks, so we're hoping they come to life. But I'll let one of you guys start off first.
Alright, my big play of the weekend is New Orleans Saints -7 against the lowly pathetic. You heard it here last week, Arizona Cardinals. My other big play, -2.5, Green Bay Packers against the Redskins, coming down off that high. They got McNabb his win last week that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're going to cover this week against Aaron Rodgers in that air attack. I'm liking Chicago lock over Carolina.
You always do, Jabari. The lock of Bears? Jay Cutler started practicing. Oh, this is a story I don't like enough. How does someone have a concussion? He didn't come out in the second half, and he's just sitting in the locker room. I was thinking that he had a sissy fit in the locker room and just didn't want to come out there.
Yeah, mild concussion, which is not the same as a regular one. It's less, you know, your brain kind of comes back to the light later on that night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, precaution. You got a bruise in the brain still. They just hold you out a day or two. So that's probably what it was.
Back in the day, Trick would get into our games and still play.
Well, Steve Miles, Young did it.
Yeah, I mean, the mild one's now, though.
That's why he's a moron on ESPN. That's besides the point.
So why do you honestly think Chicago Bears are going to cover this week?
Carolina has no D-line pressure. What you saw last week against the Giants, the opposite of that is the Carolina D-line. I mean, Juice Peppers is on the Bears now. They have Tyler Brain on one end, Everett the Bus Brown on the other.
But they did shut down Drew Brees and almost gave young rookie Jimmy Clausen a win last week.
That's a division rival. They play the Saints so much, they better know their place. But they're facing a team in the Bears who they played every few years.
That Bears run D looks phenomenal. Julius Peppers is a monster, but they look like they wore down in that fourth quarter. Amon Bradshaw and Brandon Fatboy Jacobs.
So that's
what are you going to do with a couple times?
Stuart Williams. They'll shut them down. I think 45 points. Those guys, Carolina, Jeff Oltal's a little banged up.
Lovie Smith needs to get that Stone Cold face slapped.
Yep. Wanted to slap him on the
Mike Mark learns to run the ball a little more. Or at least throw some dink duck pads to Matt Forte and let him shake a couple of Panthers.
So you think they're going to win it convincingly? Or you think it's going
to
be a...
Hold your breath to the end. I hope not. I hope they win by about 10. They should. But you never know if the Bears sometimes.
Jabal, what's your non-Bears play this week?
I'm liking Detroit Lions over the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, I said that one too.
They've been close all year long. Starting 3 for 300 yards last week. I think, you know, St. Louis, their DBs aren't really that good. They're young.
No.
And he should throw for another 300 yard game, throwing Megatron, Kevin Johnson. And I think they should win it by 7-10 points. So
yeah.
In that one. Yeah. That defensive line they have is legit. It's a playoff caliber defensive line. And Bradford might be on his back.
Okay, I'm going to go over a couple of my picks as well. I like the Saints, like Joe said, so I won't comment on that one. My other one is the Ravens -7. I was real high on the Broncos having a letdown last week. And the reason why they thrived was because the Tennessee Titans let them. They should have controlled it a lot better and made a few adjustments. The Ravens will do that. The defense still on top 5, top 7 in the league. They'll shut them down. And surprisingly, Baltimore's starting to get one of the most elite offenses in the league, so they're not going to be able to match them. And they'll cover that one easily. 9-7.
Only slow last week.
Yeah, so I really think even if Ray Rice is limited, Joe Flacco can do enough. You see him getting more familiar with TJ Houshmandzadeh and Anquan Boldin every week, And Derek Mason, that guy, he just doesn't stop. See who catches that guy makes at 36? At 36 years old. That guy's amazing. So I like that play right there. My other one is the Giants plus +3. I got a touchdown with Matt Schaub. He can't handle pressure. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league with pressure. Giants are one of the best. They'll get after him, force him into some mistakes. Andre Johnson's going to be a step slow, even if he's out there. That could mess up a route. It gets tipped. I definitely see a defensive touchdown happening in that game. Eli Manning didn't really have to do much last week because the Bears stunk. So he'll be back to what he was doing a couple weeks ago. Have him throw a little bit, and they'll get enough done to cover that.
Who's going
to
start running back for him, Zach, real quick? Who's going to start?
They probably have Bradshaw out there. He came back after that injury, so he's iced down right now until Thursday. But he'll be out there.
Did you stop Aaron Foster, though?
Yes, I've got Aaron Foster on my non-starters this week, but we'll touch that here in a minute. And one more pick for you, Kansas City plus +9.5. I actually think it's moved down to 8 now, but when I placed that bet in, at the MGM Grand, it was 9.5. So take Kansas City, they're going to run the ball consistently with Jamal Charles and Thomas Jones. Matt Cassel, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, but I see him getting in more of a rhythm. He can't be in a funk all year. And Peyton Manning, he's going to have to do just enough to manage to keep them in the game this week, try to squeak out a win. So it's not going to be a game where it's a runaway game for the Colts, even though it's at home. You guys like any other picks?
Atlanta minus -3. It looks like there's going to be a lot of road chocolate in this week.
Yeah,
they're just going to set these lines up.
Just like last week. And so we're going to not keep this show as long as last week. We're going to go ahead and go into our fantasy segment, some starters and players to bench. Remember, like we've been telling you the past few episodes, these are non-obvious starters. These are just sleeper picks. So don't think because we're not mentioning an obvious player that you don't start him or bench him. So Jabari, start off on this one. A couple quarterback starters for us.
Please don't say Peyton Manning like you did last week, Jabari. Thanks.
No, I'm going with Sean Hill's week. Like I said earlier, going to St. Louis. I don't have any faith in that St. Louis back. They're back 7. Gordon Nice is a nice young player, but that defense is just still too raw. I think you put a big game this week. And don't laugh at this one, but David Garrard going against
Baltimore. Yes!
Yeah. We laughed
at David Garrard. I mean, I think he's going to put big numbers. He has an 80 rating this year, surprising. I thought it was like negative something. Throwing 80s, being, you know, somewhat average.
And Mercedes Lewis is emerging as a fantasy sleeper tight end.
Yeah,
three touchdowns.
Like, year. If they just get Mike Sims-Walker to play like Mike Sims-Walker, I mean, he's going to have a big week this week.
My fantasy sleeper starting Sam Bradford against Detroit. Like DeBar said, it's going to be a high-scoring game. Bradford looks sharp against Seattle. He's got Mark Clayton. He's not that good, but he's good enough. He's got a couple of weapons. It's going to be a high-scoring 31-27 game. Bradford's going to get your fantasy points because you're going to need them.
Speaking of that, the St. Louis-Seattle game, what were you thinking of Pete Carroll's play calls? Fake field goal.
We're not in college anymore.
Yeah, he also doesn't work with it.
And you can stop wearing khakis, too.
Yeah, I was really shocked by that, but it kept us in our game. A bet.
Also, like that, Sam Bradford is probably the best rookie quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger.
He's a true rookie.
Yeah, he's doing great.
He's doing really good out there.
Did you have another quarterback, or did you already say
Bradford?
Okay, I've got my two starters here. Eli Manning, the Giants quarterback. Over the past 3 or 4 years, he's went from not very high passer in fantasy terms to last season exploding for like 4,500 yards, and that's going to keep happening. I expect him to come out and have a big passing day against the Houston pass defense. So all those Giants receivers you should start as well. They'll even out there. And then Brett Favre, he hasn't had a game that you would start him at all this year, but coming off a bye week, I think he's going to have his a little bit more of a rhythm, that extra rest, that extra time to gel with his players that he missed in training camp. So they're going to play the Jets in a primetime game, and I think with Randy Moss in the realm of things, he should come out there and have a decent game in terms for Brett Favre.
I also like Joe Flacco. I think that would be my number two. Getting a start, he's been emerging the last couple of weeks as a top 12 fantasy quarterback, and he's playing against Denver. Like Zach talked about earlier, he's going to have a big day. So I would start Joe Flacco. I'm going to start him over Jay Cutler, I'll tell you that.
And Jeff, I know you, or actually it was Tim. We got a couple of fantasy questions last week, but Tim We know that you were traded for Mike Vick, and we told you to keep Joe Flacco for this reason, so you're going to be riding on him until Vick comes back in the fold. Jamar, your two quarterbacks to bench.
So, the first one is Kevin Cobb. The reason is, other than his son, his only completion this year is 18 yards. So, he's a Deacon Duckett all down the field, in the game, going 17 for 25 for, you know, 90 yards. That's what he's going to do. He's just going to Deacon Duckett. He has no confidence in his arm going down the field. He might even throw a few picks this week, get hit by a Willis in the chin a few times. And then my other quarterback is Carson Palmer. I just don't know what to get this guy. They're playing Tampa Bay this week. He was ranked 10th in NFL in pass defense. And, I mean, he played horrible against the Browns, who were 25th against the pass.
Yeah. He didn't do a type of bad. That was a straight garbage yardage game by him. The Browns let up in the fourth quarter, and then they were up 23-10, and he got, like, 150, 160.
Yeah, guys falling down for that T.O. touchdown? Come on.
Because he had like, 165 yards going in the fourth quarter. Exactly. But, who's your true quarterback?
I'm going with Kevin Cobb because he sucks. I'm not gonna elaborate any more on that. And then I'm gonna go with Kyle Orton against Baltimore. You're looking at a 200-yard, one touchdown day at best. It's gonna be a low-scoring game anyways. Kyle Orton have a couple bad games in a row here and come back down to earth. Baltimore's gonna make the necessary adjustments against that crap dink and dump bullshit. Yeah. So I would sit Kyle Orton this week.
Yeah, Kyle Orton. I put him on my list as well. I just see some of the same variables you stated. He's been playing out of his mind, out of this world. 350-400-yard passing yard average. I think he's second in the history of NFL history in the first four games, throwing for like 1,400 yards.
That's how many attempts he has, 250-plus a game?
Yeah, so he's not really having to do much, throwing accurate dink-and-dump throws, but it comes a time where you just have a mistake-laden game. This week, it's going to happen. Too much speed and too much smart minds on the Baltimore Ravens side of the football to let that happen. My other guy is Vince Young going against Dallas. Yeah, they're not going to let him run the ball. And I think they're going to shut down Chris Johnson, which means Vince Young's going to have to throw it deep down the field to get anything going, because that's the only way he can beat the Cowboys. And he's just not, even when he has a decent game, Vince Young puts up 200 passing yards.
150 yards they probably are averaging.
Yeah, he gets most of his fantasy production through his legs. So right now, Vince Young is a tier 2, tier 3 quarterback in the fantasy realm of things. Two running backs to start.
I'm liking C.S. Fuller against Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville's defense is still kind of eh, and he's explosive. I mean, he hits a corner, and he's gone. And with Marshawn Lynch
gone,
that's some more touches for him this week, and I think he'll put up big numbers this week.
You think he can handle the carry load that he hasn't had it yet?
Well, it's week 5 of the year, so I think he had it week 5, not week 12, whatever story as a rookie running back.
Yeah, maybe they'll get creative and throw him the ball.
Yeah.
Use him as a receiver, too.
Maybe something. I mean, they drop him to be creative, and let's see if they use it now. You know, draft him, like, give him a swing pass out of the backfield, run his speed, and we'll see what they do this week. And then also, Ryan Terrain, getting the start against Green Bay.
ASU, what?
Getting the start against
that's a consensus there.
Yep.
Green Bay's holding his run.
Yeah, exactly. And watching him run against the Eagles, he runs hard. He's not going to dance and try to shake. He's going to run through you. And he's been pretty effective at it so far. So I expect him to have a good...
Now, with quarters crowded out, 4 to 6 weeks that we hear, do you think Terrain is going to keep that job the rest of the year even when Portis comes back?
Who has their backup guy him? I mean, they got rid of what, Betts? I mean, it's really nobody.
Yeah.
It's his job to lose. Mike Shanahan likes him. You got me? Jeff from Denver, yeah. Out of college.
He knows the zone blocking scheme.
Yeah, he had a couple injuries. Now he's healthy. And Shanahan liked him 3 years ago. Why not run with him now?
Okay. My running back to start this week's Michael Bush against San Diego. McFadden's nursing a hamstring injury. Bush was out there a lot last week. If you saw it on the goal line instead of the 10-yard line, he was out there in the personnel package. I think he's going to have a nice game, even though San Diego's been pretty good against the run. And then also in that game, I like Mike Tolbert getting a lot of carries against Oakland, just wearing down that defense. They're horrible against the run.
What sleeper he's been, Tolbert.
Yeah, he's a fullback.
Exactly. He's like Mike Allstar.
Wears you down. Ryan Matthews was healthy enough to play last week. He played the entire fourth quarter in a blowout, but he wasn't healthy enough in the first three quarters, so that's an alarming.
Yeah.
And then maybe they're just giving him back in the fold of things. My two guys, Ryan Terrain, with Jabbar touchdown, we commented on him last week. Ryan Terrain's going to have a great game against the Green Bay Packers. Washington likes to have a balanced offense. They don't like to throw it that much. Ball control, clock control. So expect him to have a high carry amount, maybe 25 to 30, which should be in the top three of the fantasy backs this week as far as carries. So we'll see what he can do with those carries. Once they get in the red zone, expect a touchdown or two. Then my other guy's Willis McGahee.
Had him last week.
Yep. With Ray Rice dinged up in Baltimore going up against Denver. You're going to expect McGahee to get some red zone carries. That's all you really expect to get out of it. Like I said, I expect Denver to have a lot of turnovers, and that's going to lead to points, transition, running game, touchdowns. Two guys to bench for running backs. Joey Addai, nursing an injury this week and going up against Kansas City. I just think it's going to be a low-scoring game. You usually don't expect that to happen with the Colts, but I think this week's going to be a low-scoring game against Kansas City. And then Arian Foster of the Houston Texans. Here's a guy that's just playing out of his mind, leading the league in rushing, all across the board, yardage, touchdowns. Expect that to taper off this week. You can't keep that up on a MVP pace. He's not MVP back.
I'm going to bench Peyton Hillis this week against Atlanta. Last week, Frank Gore only had 77 yards against that defense in a close game, 16-14 game. I think Atlanta's going to jump on him earlier tonight, and they're going to be playing catch-up the whole rest of the game. And then again, Ryan Matthews, who just got garbage time last week. He's not fitting in their plans right now. Like I said, he came off an ankle injury, and I don't think he's healthy enough right now to take the workload of Mike Tolbert.
Yeah, I'm with you right there on that, Ryan Matthews. He's a rookie. They're just going to see what he can do. They're not going to force anything on him. I can run through him. They're a playoff team. They're not going to take an L trying to get him acclimated. Mm-hmm. And then D'Angelo Williams, or even Jonathan Stewart, if you have him. The Bears are number one against the run to that Giants debacle. They still have a great run defense led by Julius Peppers, and Lance Briggs, and Urlacher in the middle.
Oh, man, I was waiting for Julius Peppers to make a play.
At one moment,
we yelled out, give him another 100 more, as Chris Collinsworth said, he's not getting enough money. So he almost had some game-turning plays there. We were waiting for it.
He's been dominant. He's been the best fit.
And he's going into Carolina, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know he's going to be playing out of his mind even more.
Yeah.
He's getting up for that game.
I expect a big game. Also, they signed Charles Grant this week, the Bears. He's a big DN. He's about a good 295. It's going to be hard to run against those big DNs they have. So that big, huge D-line the Bears have should just overpower that Carolina O-line. So I expect a big game out of the running game for Carolina.
He didn't have a big game last week, did he?
Really, Jonathan Stewart had.
Was it Jonathan Stewart had a touchdown, didn't he?
Had a touchdown. They both had decent games, but for him all year.
And I'll touch on the wide receivers I like this week. No, you guys don't. Bernard Berrien going against the Jets. Randy Moss is going to get all the attention. Yeah, Randy Moss is going to get all the attention. And last year, Bernard Berrien, he got quite a few deep bombs from Brett Favre. So expect them to do some sort of scheme to get them confused with Randy Moss and bring him over the middle, bring some attention to the safety, and then hit Berrien deep on the left sideline. He should get 3 to 4 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. I'm predicting it there. And over with the Raiders, they're throwing it a lot. They've got actually pretty good offensive balance going, but they're dinged up at receiver. Chaz Schoen's out, Lewis Murphy questionable, and Darius Heyward-Bey likely out. So it means production has to come somewhere else. And that'll come with Zach Miller. He had a big game, 122 yards and a touchdown, and Johnny Lee Higgins. He has to be the number one receiver this week, and they're going to be able to put up some points to match their matchup this week. Starters.
I will go keep riding that Donald Driver train against Washington. He's had a TD in three separate games this year. Like Mike Williams against Cincinnati, the Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, that is, will come out of a bye week. Josh Freeman targets him from the
Juice.
So I like him having a big day against that Cincinnati secondary. My big, deep sleeper wide receiver play this week is Mike Thomas from
Tucson.
From Jacksonville against Buffalo last week against Indianapolis. He had 5 catches for 68 yards. Gerard targeted him 7 times. He's reliable. He hasn't scored a touchdown yet, so I think he's going to squeak one against Buffalo and hopefully ride out Jabbar's Gerard play. And then at tight end, I like Brent Celek against the Niners. Like we said, Cobb targets him. He targets the backs. He's not going to throw it to the receivers. So I think Selleck's going to have 5 or 6 catches and hopefully a touchdown for you guys.
I'm liking Lance Moore because they're playing Arizona. You could pick any Saint receiver. It's going to be horrible.
What about Colts?
What do you think the final score of that game is going to be? Let's do a final score then. Let's see how bad. Because last week we were pretty dead on with the 41, whatever it was, with San Diego, Arizona. Let's pick another blowout and see how close we are. We might get a prize out on this one.
I'll go with 38-14 Saints. It's going to be bad. It's going to be real ugly, like the San Diego game.
Arizona didn't score an offensive touchdown last week.
There's Max Holmes is going to deacon dunk it, so they're going to sit on that. And their coordinated Saints are coordinated by Greg Williams, who's a very aggressive coordinator. We smell that blood in the water, and they're bringing in Max Hall.
Sharp, we've been quiet all year.
Oh, he's going to come out this game. Everybody.
Who's your, what's your favorite split?
38-10. I'm going to say 52-7.
Holy shit!
52-7. Yep.
50 burger.
Touchdown.
Wide receiver. Going pretty hard. I mean, I think Bernard Bernie's hands are just too bad. But I think Harvard could be kind of what Wes Walker was in New England.
Yeah.
They're putting the slot next to Randy Moss, sit Moss deep.
Yeah.
Let him work underneath, catch it. He'd get a lot of yak. He's really fast and shifty.
Definitely. I like the Percy Harvin. I think the Vikings offense is going to come out, and that's a good underdog for a bet, +4.5.
Yeah, that's a nice one. And those are my two receivers.
My receivers I'm benching. Larry Fitzgerald against New Orleans. This guy's got Max Hall from BYU, undrafted free agent.
The Mesa Mountain View.
Throwing him the football, he'd look like crap against San Diego. He's going to look bad against New Orleans, even though Tracy Porter's out. I don't see Larry Fitzgerald having a good game. He's not going to be in sync with Max Hall. I'm also benching Jeremy Maclin against the 49ers. No Vic to stretch the field out. He's not going to get targeted by Kevin Cobb. And I would bench Randy Moss. He's got Revis against him on Monday night. He's going to be trying to learn a new system. I just don't like him getting a touchdown in that game.
The two guys are Derek Mason. Like I said, they're looking more at TJ Houshmandzadeh. So bench him. He's a good veteran. He can make a play or two, but bench him. And then Terrell Owens, that was definitely a phantom game for him, 222 yards and touchdown. The Cincinnati offense is just luck right now. Cedric Benson looks like crap. They're getting fluke catches down the field, so bench him.
And like Joe, I'm going with Ray Moss as well. I mean, he's never played in a true West Coast offense. There's more of a short routes. He's more of a guy sending him deep. So, I mean, I think they'll use more of a decoy, send him deep, see if the Jets run with him, get air bass underneath. So he's not going to have too many points for you this week.
We're going to have a one-handed catch on Revis again?
No. I think the Islands...
Moss on Monday night? You think he's going to have zero catches two times in a row on Monday night?
I mean, he's going to have maybe one or two.
I'll give him a cheap comeback route.
Yeah. Also, Deshaun Jackson. He's a deep threat, and Cobb can't throw it 40 yards. So.
You guys are really down on Cobb and the Eagles now.
Have you seen him play?
His
first two starts actually threw over 300 yards. Don't forget that.
Chiefs who are, aren't this year's Chiefs.
He doesn't have the arm strength to throw the ball deep, is what we're saying. He's a deep threat.
Yeah.
He'll be good against Selleck.
We know about him now. Also, it's a better offensive coach, I think, in Daniels than Reed. Reed's kind of. Well, Marty Woods calling the plays. He's kind of an idiot, I think.
Yeah.
But, I don't think Cobb's, not getting down the field. So,
okay.
Jackson's not really underneath, he doesn't have good routes, really. So he's not going to work underneath and give these jerk routes and digs. He's more of a home run hitter.
My last thing before we end the show, guys, one last thing about Vegas. Anybody that likes to have a good time, you like to get started by having an energy drink or two, stop taking Red Bull. It's all about 5-hour energy drinks.
The Red Bull give you bubble guts, you start farting in the club. They're just bad news. Get away from energy. Take a 5-hour energy drink.
Half a bottle
of it. You'll be feeling great. You mix a Patron shot in there, and boom.
No, that is the truth, because I've seen so many 5-hour energy commercials. I would never use it in the daytime or whatnot, but just when you're going out to have fun or whatever.
And you're not staying up all night getting a bad night's sleep like you do on Red Bull and other caffeine-filled energy drinks.
Exactly. That was just a little sponsor. Hopefully we get that sponsored down the road. Sirius Satellite Radio. Cam, give me that email. We're waiting. But that's all I have to say. We're concluding the episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week. Email us if you have any last-minute questions for going into the weekend for your team. Jabbar, Joe, what do you have to say?
Hopefully the Bears bounce back. You got to get something with the Bears.
The Bears let me down. Have a good week, guys. The Bears, by the way, guys, what's their record going to be over the next six games?
4-2.
Oof.
We're optimistic.
True.
2-4.
2-4, so they're going out to playoff fate.
Last week, if you listened, we said Zach was going to wear the Jay Cutler jersey, and it's not looking good anymore.
Remember what I also said. That counts as one game. It's
shut up.
Interception ratio.
Shut up.
5 games after the episode, so we'll see what happens. Bears, they're not looking good, guys. But that ends it. We can talk topics all night, but we're going to end it right now. We hope you enjoyed your show. Signing off.